to them. I just want to remind you about oppression. The devil is an oppressor, and he will oppress you, okay? I want you to understand this. You say, well, you know, I'm living right, preacher. Well, the devil will still oppress you. You know, you don't have to be in sin for the devil to oppress you. And so I want you to really understand this. You know, you have to know something about your enemy before you can defeat the foe. I like to follow sports. I'm not much of a sports enthusiast anymore. I have been. And I like to follow some things, not much anymore. But I like good coaches. And I like to see coaches that study their trade, their field. And I like to see strategy and how they build strategies and game plans. And, you know, as a Christian, I think that we need to have a strategy. We need to have a game plan. We need to have a defense against our enemy. The Bible has told us a lot about the enemy, not so that we could just know it in and of itself, but so that we could use this information to build a defense against our enemy. Now, our enemy, there's something that we need to understand about our enemy. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe. And yet, he wants to have us to believe that he's not, and that he can still bring us to submission and bring us down. And he can if we allow him to. If we allow him to. You do not have to lose this battle. All right? So I pray that you would understand that. Oppression. And I'm going to give you the scripture. All right? There's several scripture, but Acts 10:38, it mentions about, and throughout the scripture, it talks about the devil oppressing, or people that were oppressed of the devil. And then there's obsession. And we talked about that word. How that we are living in an age of obsession. People are just obsessed. I mean, it just seems like that they can't even focus on anything in life than that one obsession that they have. I thought about this verse of scripture, and I'm going to ask you to turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians. I thought about this last night as I was sitting at my desk for just a little while, and just kind of, I try to meditate on things that God gives me, and I don't do the best of that, but I do try to meditate and just think. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and let God speak to my heart so that when I preach something, I know that my heart is clean and my mind is clear. I want you to know something. I believe what I preach to you, okay? And by the grace of God, I try to practice it. I believe it. I'm not just preaching this as a source of information to you. I believe this. See, I believe that the devil is an oppressor, and he oppresses people. Remember what we said that word meant now. It is to rule over, to put down, to take authority, to overpower, to burden, to depress. And I found out something. Oppression normally is against the body. It's normally against the body. You can be oppressed in the body. Obsession is prevalent and prominent in the mind. It's in the mind. It's just you can't get it off your mind. You're obsessed. All you can think about is that one thing. And we discussed it. Sex, drugs, alcohol, sports, money. Some people it's a hobby, or it's hatred, it's revenge, or it's even yourself. People just become obsessed. And that's the work of the devil. And I gave you some scripture on obsession. Luke 6:18 and Acts 5:16. Obsession. You've turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. Did you know that we are beings of addiction? Everybody gets addicted to something. We're just bent that way. See, everybody has to worship. I don't worship. Yeah, you do. We were built to worship. God made us to worship. We have been created to worship. And we're going to worship something or someone. It's within us to do that. And so we get a choice. Who or what are we going to worship? We've been built that way. We've been framed that way. And so the scripture here talks about Stephanus and the house of Stephanus in verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house. I'm in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. You know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I mean, they were all in. See, a lot of people say, you know, well, what's the difference in the early church and the church today? It's right here. These people were not double-minded. Church was not just an afterthought to them. Serving God was not something that they just did if time permitted. It was a way of life to them. It was something that they just were all in. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you all in for Jesus? Are you? All in. I was reading this past week. Well, let me read this. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. He said in verse number 18, they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now go back to Mark chapter number 1. I was reading this past week. It is so important, and I think we forget sometimes. I know I do, and I can't speak for you, but I do see things and I hear things. I think we forget the importance that we have, the influence that we have on other people's lives. Hey, people are watching us. These young people at Fellowship Baptist Church are watching, and they're looking. They want to see something real. They want to see somebody that's real. And I thought about what is missing today in our churches, and this is something that just, I believe with all of my heart, God brought it to my mind. I'll tell you what's missing. There's a lot. But the aged are no longer teaching the younger. There was a day when the aged taught the younger. And before I go any further, I want to say there was a day that the younger were teachable. Young people know everything now. But there was a day when the aged in the church taught the younger. There was a day when a mother, now listen to me, when a mother reared up her children, she didn't say, well, done. She realized that God had put her in an environment called the church where she could take under her wing some of the young ladies of that church and she could teach them some things. You ought to read Titus chapter 2. Ladies, you say, you know, I don't feel like I have a ministry. Well, sure you do. Doesn't have to have a title. Here's the title, aged woman. If you're an aged woman, that's your title, and your ministry is listed in part in Titus chapter number 2. The same with we men. You know, we're not looking to get out. We're looking to see, well, what's next? What does God have for me next? All right? And so I pray that we would understand as we get back to Mark chapter 1 that the devil is oppressing. He wants us to obsess, but he doesn't want us to obsess with that which is right or good. He wants to do everything he can to keep our minds and our hearts and our lives and our energy and our passion away from the things of God. And then the third thing we talked about was possession. And this is very real. And that's very real. And I want you to know this. I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not trying to get anyone here to doubt your salvation. I trust that everyone in here is saved in the grace of God. I trust that you're saved. Young, old, male, female, member, visitor, I hope you're saved. I do. I hope you understand the importance of being saved. You say, well, preacher, it's just so hard. Listen, it's not hard. It's not hard. The Bible's made it very clear. You get saved by repenting of your sin. And I don't want to throw a term on you. The word repent just means, listen, turn from it. Turn from it. Trust in the finished work of Jesus. Amen. Believing that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that he came and he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross and he was buried. And 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave. Amen. He was witnessed by hundreds of people. And then he ascended into heaven. And now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He did that for you so that your sin could be forgiven. We sang it tonight. All right, it's paid in full. Jesus paid it all. And so I hope that you know that you know when I leave this life, I'm going to heaven. I hope you know that. You can know that. You can know that. All right? But there's some people that are playing a game. If you're listening by live stream or you're even in this building tonight and you're going through the motions, you're playing a dangerous game. Hear me well. Eternity is long. Judgment is sure. You have to have an answer for your sin. You're a sinner. And if you die in your sin, you will go to hell. And you will not get out. Oh, preacher, I've heard that all of my life. Well, if you stay in this church, you're going to hear the rest of it. It is important. Very important. But let's set that aside. As important as that is, how is your life going? There's so many people that have no purpose in their life. You know why? Oppression. Listen to me now. Oppression. Obsession. They've never really found their purpose and fulfilled the purpose that God has given them in this life. Young people, especially you. Now, this is for all of us. But if you do not know why God put you here, you can know. And I want to encourage you. Get on your knees before God and say, God, I want to know my purpose in life. What is your purpose for me in this life? God, what is your will for my life? That's real fulfillment. It's real fulfillment. But the devil's going to do everything he can. Now, if you're not saved, you could be possessed of the devil. You say, well, not me. People that are possessed of the devil are wicked and heinous and they look all ugly and twisted. Oh, no. Some of the most handsome men in all the world could be possessed with the devil. I've never met one, but I'm just saying they could be. Some of the most beautiful women in all the world could be possessed with the devil. So don't you get in your mind now that somebody has to be all tattooed and pierced up and mean looking and violent to be possessed with the devil. See, that's a myth. Now, they may be, but they may be one of the most pretty creatures you've ever seen. They may be smooth-talking and kind. So don't think now, if it talks good and it looks good, it must be good. Nah, it could be possessed of the devil. And so please understand this. There are some folks, even in Baptist churches, that could be possessed of the devil. All right? It's very real. I thought about this, and I'm going to ask you to turn to another scripture, Matthew chapter number 12. Jesus, I think all of us know someone like this. And I'm not saying that you're this way, that somebody on the sound of my voice, I have nobody in mind other than I know this is real. I know this is real. Where there are people that say, hey, you know, did you hear about old Bill? Old Bill got religion. You know, that's the way folks talk. Oh, Bill got religion. Bill got in church. Bill's, you know, done this, done that. And Bill does good for a week, a month. And then all of a sudden, Bill's not in church. And you begin to wonder, where'd old Bill go? Well, Bill's not in church anymore. Somebody told me Bill was back to drinking. Back to drinking. Somebody told me Bill's beating on his wife, beating on his kids. Well, Bill didn't even do that before he got religion. How many of you know a story similar to that? You've heard a story similar to that. Raise your hand real high. Where somebody, you know, they said they got right, got in church, and then before you know it, I mean, they've just gone crazy. And you wonder, what happened? Now, there's a couple of things that could have happened, but I want to show you what Jesus said here. Listen, this is very real now, okay? I want you to understand. Somebody that's here tonight, somebody that's listening, this is, could be where you are in life. This is just real serious. The devil sets people up. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number 43. Somebody that's listening tonight who knows a little bit about the Bible is going to say something along these lines. Well, you know, that's talking about the kingdom. That's talking about Israel. Well, could be. Could be talking about you. The scripture says in verse number 43, when the unclean spirit. You know the unclean spirit, don't you? That was the same spirit that we read about in Mark chapter 1 that got in that man in the synagogue in Capernaum, right? That unclean spirit. And so the Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And then the scripture says this, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. So, you know, sometimes people get a little religion. They get a little case of do better, and they do better, and we think, well, old Bob got saved. Now listen, I hope that if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you meant it in your heart. If you did, you're saved. You're saved. That's the only way to get saved, right? But there's some people that just play a little game. They just get a little religion, or they just get a little case. They get in trouble. Usually this is what happens to people. They get in trouble, and then they say, you know what? I want to get saved because that's going to get me out of trouble. I think we all know someone like that. So they do better for a little while. Then they find out, well, I'm not going to jail, or I'm not going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, phew, boy, I mean, just all hell breaks loose in their life. You wonder, what in the world happened? Well, Jesus said, this is what happened. The evil spirit left him. And it said in verse number 44, returned to his house. When that evil spirit returned, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Cleaned out. Then changed up some things. Then living a little better, right? But then the scripture says in verse 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. I've seen it happen over and over again, brethren. And so it's a dangerous thing to go through life playing this game of church and religion and do better and put on. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. There's a lot at stake here. And so I want to just really encourage you, if you've never been saved, you need to trust Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm warning you in Christian love. Do not play around with your soul. Okay? Say, well, I'll get saved when I get good and ready. Well, now you're wrong. You're wrong. No, you won't. You'll get saved when God calls you, or you won't get saved. Now, I want you to understand that. See, folks got this idea that they can just treat God like a genie and do what they want, and God will bow to their ever beckoning call. That's not the God we serve, brethren. Now, God's been gracious, and God's been good, and God has done the work, and God is calling. And while He's calling, you need to listen. You need to hearken to His call. And so the Scripture says that this man, that when the last state was worse than the first, even so, Jesus says, shall it be also in this wicked generation. I think we're seeing a lot of that. I do. Now let's go back and the Lord willing, we'll finish up in Mark chapter 1, all right? So we've got this situation where a man goes in the synagogue, and the Bible says there was an unclean spirit that went in him, and Jesus was there, and the Scripture says that in verse number 23, that this man with an unclean spirit, he cried out. I want to now switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk to you about what the devils know about our Savior. All right? Some of the things that the devil knows about Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? You know, it shocked us. We've been talking in Sunday school for the last couple of weeks about that sheep. We're compared to sheep in the Scripture, and we're dumb. Now, that doesn't mean we're dumb when it comes to weather or mechanics or, you know, the different things. But now, sheep are dumb. We're dumb spiritually. See, no man understandeth. No man seeketh after God. We're dumb spiritually. And you can talk to people about anything, just about, and they can talk to you. They can give you the roster of every team in the NFL, of every lineup in the MLB, or they can talk to you about every part of a car motor, or right on down, just talk. But when you start mentioning, hey, have you ever read over in Isaiah chapter number 6, it's just like a deer in the headlight, huh? Isaiah, what? Yeah, we're spiritually dumb. Our world is spiritually dumb. And those that know a little something have got it all twisted and turned out of sorts. And it's a terrible place that our world has gotten into by turning from God. By telling God, we don't need you. And God said, okay, okay. So here, these devils, I want you to see something. The first thing, when Jesus was there, notice what it says. And there was in their synagogue. Now, Jesus was there. He taught them in verse 21. He taught, verse 22, they were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one that had authority. All right? He taught with authority. And when he did, when he was teaching the word of God, the unclean spirit in a man that was there cried out. And look what he said. Leave us alone. Don't bother us. Leave us alone. And I said this morning, that seems to be the cry of the day, doesn't it? Hey, don't come to me talking about religion now. Don't come preaching to me, right? Leave us alone. Well, you go to your neighbor's house and you can talk about things. You start talking about Jesus. Oh, I don't like to talk about religion. You begin to talk to people in our world today. It just seems like the cry of the world is leave us alone. Can I tell you, it's slipping over in the church. It's slipping over in the church where folks come and sit and a man will stand and preach the word of God and someone will say, preacher, oh! Now you're getting a little personal there. Well, the Bible's very personal. Amen. God has a personal message for every one of us. Hey, you know, I don't need no preacher telling me how to live. Well, I'm going to just be shoot real straight right here. Some folks need somebody telling them how to live. Amen. Listen, this book has outlined the way that God intends for us to live. And if we're not doing it, God is not pleased. All right? And it's not hard. It's not hard to figure out what God has said in His book about how we're to live. And somehow we've got this mindset, hey, you know, just leave me alone. And if that doesn't work, well, listen, you just go ahead and say what you're going to say. But my mind's made up, preacher. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Not without consequences. Not without consequences. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I have every right to do what I want to do. You have no rights. You forfeited all of those when Jesus bought you with a price. Amen. And boy, we get so upset with folks marching up down the road talking about the rights of their body. These women, you know, it's my body, my choice. And yet some of those same Christians come to church. Listen to me now. Well, it's my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. You're no better than they are. You're no better off than that. Listen, hear me now. We've just got this mindset to where we can do what we want, how we want, when we want, and no one can tell us what to do. Well, that's a terrible way to go through life. It's a terrible way. You're a terrible example to your daughters and your granddaughters, and to your sons, and to your grandsons. And I am too, if that's the kind of life we're living. We're to teach those children right. We're to set the right example. Leave me alone. Verse 24. Look what he said. For what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? They knew who he was. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you? Isn't it amazing that there's preachers standing up all across our world today who stood behind a pulpit very similar to this, who preached to a congregation, listen, the size of this, not similar, but the size, and then some much bigger than this, and have absolutely no clue who Jesus of Nazareth is. No clue. They got it down all the way down to watch this. They said, art thou come to destroy us? You see what these devils understood? You can do with us what thou wilt. Right? If you want to destroy us, you can destroy us. Is that what they're saying? Isn't it amazing that we've lost this? We've lost this fear. We've lost this knowledge about who God and who Jesus is. And we've got this mindset, well, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and nobody's going to, the preacher's not going to tell me what to do. The Sunday school teacher's not going to tell me what to do. Not even God's going to tell me what to do. God's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell me what to do. And I can either do it or not. If I do, then I believe there'll be blessing. If I don't, I believe there'll be consequences. That's the Bible now. And so they said this. They said, art thou come to destroy us? Now, this kind of gives me a little ray of hope. Jesus can take care of the unclean spirits that come against me and against you. So I want you to keep this in your mind. Say, I can't. I can't do it, preacher. I can't do it. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to show you something here. So they said, art thou come to destroy us? Look at this. I know thee, who thou art. Do you know him? Do you know who he is? The devils know and tremble. Listen to me. We got folks sitting up in church. Their hearts are full of sin and rebellion. There's absolutely no fear for God in their life. And these devils are saying, we know who you are. We know you can destroy us if you choose. They understood who they were dealing with. God helped me to understand that. And God helped you to understand that. Went on to say this, look at it. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. They knew. We got folks that stood in a Baptist church this morning. Now hear me. They don't believe this. They do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that Jesus is the Holy Son of God. And they're preaching to congregations. Do you realize that Jesus is the Holy Son of God? I believe you do. I believe you do. Do you believe he has the power to do whatever he chooses? Jesus doesn't have to ask us. God doesn't have to ask us. He can do what he chooses. These devils realize that. Now, the scripture says this. When they said that, Jesus, in verse number 25, Jesus rebuked him. All right? He didn't come here to have no conversation with you. And he said this in verse number 25. He said, hold thy peace. Be muzzled. You have no say here. That's what he's saying. You have no say here. Now see, this is the one we need to get in our life. This is the one we need to get on our case, brethren. You say, well, preacher, I am being, now listen to me carefully, I am being oppressed by the devil. You need him. You need him. I'm being obsessed by the devil. You need him. You need him. I feel that there's times I've even felt like I'm not saved, and I feel like maybe I've been possessed by the devil. I don't know. I just know the devil's on my life, and my life is coming apart at the seams, and I just don't know if there's any hope. I don't know what to do. You need to get to Jesus. You need to get to him. This one right here, brethren, right here, still alive. Still alive. Just as much alive today as he was in the day that I read to you about. Still alive. Still alive. Still got power. Still has authority. Can still get it done. Can still get it done. Amen. Somehow over the years, through the course of our lives, we've lost the mindset and the belief in our hearts and the core of our being that this same Jesus is the Jesus that is alive today, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, who has commissioned us and who has sent us and who fills us and who empowers us to live the victorious Christian life. You can do it. But now it's going to take God's help to do it. This man, when Jesus in verse 25, he said, hold thy peace. I like this. And come out of him. I like that. This man was not merely oppressed or obsessed. He was possessed. He was in him. Possession. Inward. Inside. Okay? He was in him. And he said, come out of him. Now when Jesus says come out of him, they get out. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell him to get out, preacher. He's going to laugh at you. You listen to me. You stand up to the devil and you say, devil, get behind me. Oh, he's going to laugh at you. Even Michael the archangel, have you read the book of Jude? Even Michael the archangel said, the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't bring a railing accusation against the devil. When they were disputing about the body of Moses, you've read this, right? It's important to understand where our authority lies. Our authority doesn't lie in certain things we do. It's whose we are, not who we are. We have to understand this. We have to plead the blood of Jesus, brethren. There's a verse of scripture in Revelation that talks about how that the saints of God, they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm asking you this evening, has there been a time in your life that you got on your face before the God of heaven and pled the blood of Jesus over your life and said, God, I need your help. I'm in the snares of the devil. I need some help. Jesus, set me free. Set me free. He'll set you free. But now, this thing I'm just saying, well, you know, I'm 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. That's no good. That's no good. I'm going to do it, preacher. Leave me alone. I can't tell you how many people I've been trying to help and get them to this point right here and tell them, hey, listen to me now. Listen to me. try to get them right here and say, you need the blood of Jesus. You need the power of God in your life. You need the word of God activated in your life so you can be set free. Oh, I know, I know. Do you really? Do you really? Oh, I know, preacher. I know. Do you? I'm convinced that there's so many people that don't know. That's why I'm telling you. I'm not telling you because I think I know more than you know, or I think I'm better than you, or I have something you don't have. Listen, if you're saved, you've got the same power at your resource, at your call, at your usage that I have. We just got to learn how to activate it. Get it involved. So the Bible says, and this is really important here, don't you miss this. When Jesus told him to get out, look at verse 26. When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. He did what Jesus told him to do because he has to, because Jesus has authority over him. You say, well, I'm being oppressed. You get Jesus involved and the oppression will go away. I'm being obsessed. I'm being obsessed. I just think about it all day, every day. I just can't seem to break the cycle. I just can't seem to break free, preacher. Get Jesus involved, you see. Get Jesus involved. I'm telling you, brethren. I'm preaching that I know that many of you sitting on the sound of my voice, you know what I'm talking about. You've witnessed it in your own life. We've seen Jesus set people free. Jesus is not through setting people free. Jesus can still set people free. Amen. 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 We just seem to where we've gotten to this place and we feel like, well, you know, the devil's reaping havoc on the world and he's having his way in the church and there's just, we're powerless. We are not powerless. Amen. We are not powerless. Amen. The same power in heaven God has given us here on earth. In the name of Jesus, we can do anything. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, God is my witness, I wouldn't preach another message. Right. I'd sit down. I doubt I'd even come back to church. Right. As much as I love you, I believe I'd just befriend you on Facebook and we'll just stay in touch that way. Right. But with every fiber of my being, I believe that Jesus is alive. Amen. And that the power of God is alive. Amen. And we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right. I believe it, brethren. I believe it. By the grace of God, I'm not going to stop believing it.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you seem kind of settled on that. Been settled a long time.
Amen.
God settled this in my heart a long time ago. I had some decisions to make as a young preacher. And the Holy Ghost of God got it settled deep. You hear me now? Deep. What I speak to you about is deep. This is not something I read in a book or just found out about last week. This is something that God settled in my heart a long time ago.
Amen.
Long time ago.
Amen.
There's just some things you need to get settled.
Amen.
As staples in your life. And don't move from that landmark. Don't move. Did you notice in verse 26 it says, when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice. What do you reckon's happening there? Now listen to me. See, there's some folks maybe sitting on the sound of my voice tonight. Maybe watching by live stream. I've been oppressed by the devil. I don't know that I haven't been possessed by the devil before I got saved. I've done some stupid, just wicked stuff, and I'm ashamed of it. But I thank God Jesus washed me in his blood.
Amen.
I have no guilt from that. Listen to me. I stand before you. Listen, I have no guilt from that. Jesus cleared me of the guilt.
Amen.
Washed me in his blood.
Amen.
Possibly I was possessed with an unclean spirit. I don't know. Maybe you were too. But I know for sure there's no possibility about it. I have been oppressed of the devil. And I have been obsessed of the devil. But Jesus has made me free. And Jesus is no respecter of persons. There's somebody sitting here tonight and you're just living a lonely, sad life. God help you. I mean that. God never intended your life to be like that. You're made in the image of God. If you're saved, Jesus shed his blood for you. He's applied it to your life. If you're not, he shed his blood for you and he wants to apply it to your life. Your life doesn't have to be miserable and indifferent and lonely. It doesn't have to be that way. God never intended life to be that way. The devil got one up on this man. Did you notice? Hold your place here. We'll turn to Luke's account. I've got just a couple more points and I'll be through tonight. Luke chapter 4 is the same exact account. You can read it on your own time. Don't read it here tonight, okay? But sometime this week, if God would lead you to that, I want you to read it. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. If it's not tonight, young folks, sometime in your life, you're going to begin to really question some things. What's going on with me? Why am I here? What am I intended to do? Is God real? Can I have a relationship with God? Will God really talk to me? Can I talk to God? Does God have a specific purpose for my life? There's going to be this and so many other questions. Does God have someone out there for me? Right? Young people have these questions. I have them. You'll have them too. If you haven't already, you will. I think we're teaching young people, and I was telling a young person this past week. I shared it with my wife, Sharon. She and I were talking. I said, you know, honey, the Lord just really spoke to my heart about something. We get so wrapped up in teaching young people. And listen, we should teach young people. You find the right one. But can I tell you something more important than you finding the right one? Listen carefully. Now, you might want to write this down. You be the right one. It is so much easier to find the right one when you are the right one.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You listening?
Yeah.
And God just put it right heavy on my heart. Because I've been preaching for years, you find the right one, which means you get God's direction on this. You get God's mind on it and let God direct you to the right one. But it's so much easier to do that when you are the right one. And so I want to challenge you young people here. I want nothing. You might think, well, the preacher, he's mean, and you don't know me very well. I pray for you by name. I'm not bragging. I care about your life. I want nothing but good for you. I want God's will for your life. I know what it is to be in God's will. There's nothing better. There's nothing more fulfilling to be in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
There's nothing like it, and you can experience. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. If you are saved in the good grace of God, you're a child of the King, and he has good things for you.
Amen.
Now go get them. Go get them. God has some good things for you. I'm not saying that life will be all a bed of roses, and there won't be hard places, and there won't be trials and sorrows, but I'll tell you this, the God of heaven will be your friend through every one of them. Every one of them, he'll see you through them. Luke chapter number 4, we have the same account that we have here in Mark chapter 1. And there's something that Luke said that Mark didn't say that really got me to thinking. I began to read and to research, and here's what I come up with. Look, if you would, in verse number, let me find it here. Verse number 35, when Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Verse number 35 of Luke chapter 4, Jesus rebuked him and saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him, in the mist, he came out of him. Now I want you to watch this next little phrase that Luke added. I'm so glad that Luke added this. And hurt him not. Amen. The devil doesn't want to let you go. When the devil gets you in his obsession and his oppression and maybe in his possession, he doesn't want to let you go. But he has to when Jesus tells him to. You need to get Jesus on your case. He's a great advocate. He is a wonderful lawyer. You need to get him on your case now. You say, well, preacher, I've got a tough case. He specializes in those.
Amen.
Hear me now.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm in a bad way. He specializes in that. The devil didn't want to let this man go so much that the scripture says that unclean spirit, he threw him. He screamed. He was just agitated. He screamed when he came out of him. Threw him. But Luke said, but it didn't hurt him. I like that. The devil didn't want to let him go. What's that tell me? That means that if you're going to, even when you get Jesus on your case, you're going to have to fight a little bit. See, I see struggle here. The wording here, I see struggle. The devil had thrown him in the mist and he came out of him, but he didn't hurt him. But he threw him. I mean, there was a struggle going on. Jesus told him to come out, and the devil didn't want to come out, but Jesus said, come out. He had to come out, and he wanted to stay, and the man didn't want him in there, and there was struggle. I think sometimes we think, well, you know what? I'm going to go to church 3 times a week, and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. There's going to be struggles in our lives. The preacher struggles, I can tell you that. Yeah, you struggle. Don't you struggle?
Amen.
It's a struggle sometimes. But I'm glad that I have Jesus on my side.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me close with this. Turn back to Mark, as I said, and we'll close with this. So what are we going to do, preacher? Well, I told you about Luke where Jesus had sent the disciples out, and they came back, and they said, you know, even the devils are subject unto you, you know, unto us in thy name. Now, brethren, they are. And I want you to know this. The devils are subject unto us, but only in Jesus' name. So don't mistake that. Now, here's what the world, the devil, is going to want you to do. Number one, when you get in trouble, when you get in a bad way, when you get obsessed, or when you get oppressed, or maybe even possessed, the devil's going to try to get you to think, well, you know what? You just need a different environment. The world has really set this up, hasn't it? What you need is a different environment. Well, I don't think you can get any better than the Garden of Eden. It's more important. Now, I'm not saying environment's not important. It is important. But it's not the most important. Well, what you need is a little more education. That's what you need. You need to go to school for 2 more years. I'm not against education. I think it's great. I do. I think education is great in its place. But education is not the answer. What do you listen, what do you have? I think it was Adrian Rogers who said this. What do you have when you educate a devil? A clever devil. And we think that, you know what, if we could just get them educated, if we could just get them in a better housing project, if we could just get them, you know, in a better environment, if we could just get them this, if that, and brethren, that's not it. I'm for every one of those things. I am. But the answer is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Has there ever been a time in your life where you realize that? Where you realize, I don't need another bill passed. We don't need Washington to pass another bill, which is usually going to mean less of, you know, more of our rights taken. Amen. You know, when people do wrong, they write a bill that doesn't really affect the people who've done wrong. It affects the people who are doing right. We don't need more legislation. I don't know that we need more education. I'm for education, so don't misunderstand me. But that's not the answer. We don't need better environment, better housing projects. We may, but that's not the answer. What we need to do is understand this right here is the answer. And I mean, this really is the answer. It's not just a saying that a preacher says while he's standing up on a platform, holding it up, you know, posing for a picture. So this is the answer. It's Jesus.
Amen.
He's the answer.
Amen.
What are you going through? What are you going through? Has it got you to the place where you've seen, you've come to the end of yourself, the end of anything man can do? You, your preacher, your spouse, your friends, and it's just brought you to the place where you say, Jesus, it's me and you. It's me and you. I need your help. I can't do it without you. God, I need your help. I am pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? That is an authority that Jesus has given us. Plead the blood of Christ. In the name of Jesus, brethren, I'm telling you, things happen. It is a name that is above every name. It's not just a name that's used in a cursing or in a slang way. It's a name that has with it power. Power. And we need to be claiming that name, claiming that power. We have been commissioned in Jesus' name. We have the authority to live the victorious Christian life. It's real. You say, preacher, seems like I heard some preacher on TV that was preaching the power of positive thinking say something like that. Well, maybe he did. As he was telling lies, maybe he slipped that truth in there. But I'm telling you, it's a truth from the Bible. We have the power to overcome the devil in Jesus' name. But many of us are doing it in our name. We're doing it in the church's name. We're doing it in every name but Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. What are you going through? What are you facing?